Tell me why.
It's time for the Dane by Local radio show. Let's get local. Each week, we are your connection to local as we talk with leaders of area businesses, nonprofits, and government. There are so many amazing people and organizations in our community, so let's get into it. Let's get local.
I heard the stories of your kind.
Time for more stories, more local stories here from the Double Radio Studios on 92.7 FM. 1580 AM, also streamed at devilradio927.com, and you can catch our Facebook live stream as well if you're looking for video, although it's not that exciting today. It's just me and the Devil Radio banner, at least to start the show. We have some great guests, though, so listen in because we have some really interesting things to talk about, important things to talk about as we continue to kind of move forward on what's happening in our community and keep you abreast of that. I did want to just say happy Saturday to all of you, and we're very glad that you tune into this program. We couldn't do this program without our sponsors, though, so a quick thank you to them, which is Madison Water Utility and their $100 toilet rebate they have going right now, in addition to SUPAC and Evolution Financial, our two sponsors for Let's Get Local currently. If you're interested in sponsorship and promoting your business or your organization through Devil Radio, you can reach out to Luke. You can reach out to devilradio927.com, find that information, and get on board. Get on the train. Okay, we kick things off today. I'm really glad that Patrick could make time for us to talk about some important issues about Our Lives magazine. So we bring in Patrick Faribault right now to discuss a whole plethora of things with him and get his insights. Patrick, good morning to you. Oh, hold on. We got to get him on. We got it. There you are, Patrick. I apologize. One more button I had to push. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
So, Patrick, I know, tell us first off about Our Lives magazine. Our Lives magazine is a Dane by Local member, and you've been doing the magazine for a while now, putting out great content, and it's really a passion for you. So tell people about it.
Yeah, you bet. So I started at Our Lives in 2007. It kind of blows my mind that I'm working on the 14th anniversary issue right now. Initially, it's Wisconsin's. Originally, it was Madison's, but we were slowly expanding statewide to be Wisconsin's LGBTQ media magazine. We are the only LGBTQ media left in the state. I started it in 2007, initially as a response to the marriage amendment that had passed. All of the kind of unpacking of why the marriage amendment passed kept pointing to the fact that the average everyday Wisconsinite still really didn't know somebody who identified as LGBTQ. And that a lot of work had to be done just to change hearts and minds. So the mission of the magazine and the framework of it was to just humanize the LGBTQ community by narrative storytelling. That's why the name is the way it is. That's the format. And as it's evolved over the years, it's really become a primary source for news, people, community, and culture, not just for Madison anymore, but for the majority of Wisconsin.
I think it's so important to have that voice, like you said. I think so many people, and we talked last week with Chef Dave Heide as well, and you know, a lot of what I heard from him too was just that there are a lot of people that just don't know. They're just not aware of differences among our people in our community and how those people might be feeling and putting themselves in their shoes. So this, what Our Lives does such a great job of, I think, is like you said, telling those stories so people can understand and relate. And that's so crucial to people getting a good understanding of all the people that are included in our community.
Yeah, there's like the mission's kind of twofold. One is to directly support the community, but two is also just to be an educational tool that can reach out and build bridges outside of the community as well. So like Chef Dave, for example, was actually in the March issue of the magazine with their child, Ollie. I believe Ollie uses they, them pronouns. So Chef Dave was talking about how to, in his opinion, how to parent a trans child. So, and then Ollie contributed as well, just on their own process of coming out to themselves and to their family. And each issue kind of encapsulates that. There's news stories about things that may be cultural or political that are going on. There are human interest stories that can kind of go and tell you from a narrative position what it's like to walk in somebody's shoes, what are some of the challenges that they face based on their identity, and what are some of the solutions that they've found to overcome those challenges or go beyond them. And hopefully, ideally, I try to use the magazine as a tool just to show people how to get more out of their life. As a queer person in the Madison metro area, and again, by extension, Wisconsin.
There's and a lot. Go ahead, Patrick. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Like, one of the things that I find remarkable about it is that sounds fairly straightforward. Like, I don't think it's necessarily a revolutionary mission, but it's surprising that there's just not a lot of queer media, even nationally, doing that work. I think you would be pressed to go anywhere in the country and find something like Our Lives. One of the challenges within the queer community itself is we are a community that often ends up siloed by our alphabet letters. So, you know, a lot of gay men just know other gay men, or lesbians just know other lesbians. So there's a lot of bridge building that has to happen even within the community. And to have a publication that can kind of bring everybody under one umbrella can take a bit of magic sometimes to cross a lot of those cultural barriers. And it makes Our Lives really unique to exist, not just in Wisconsin, but in the world of queer media.
We're talking with Patrick Faribault of Our Lives magazine, publisher, owner, creator, and also just a general good human being trying to do some good things here in the Madison area. Patrick, you mentioned news, and there's a big news story in this current issue as well. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so no surprise, I'm talking about the legislation that the GOP is trying to advance to restrict trans people from being able to play in school, both sort of like high school, middle school, collegiate sports, that aligns with their gender identity. And why I say it's no surprise is because this seems to be the latest sort of chapter in the GOP playbook, where nearly identical legislation is being rolled out in dozens of states at this point. And the interesting thing about it, that consistently, if you look across the board, the legislation's almost identical in each state. Like, it's almost a step and repeat process. And identically, when kind of pressed on it, the people who are trying to roll it out can't cite examples of why there's a need for it. You know, they're kind of searching for a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. And I think the bigger mission of what they're trying to accomplish it is just to further other the trans community in a way that can unify whatever faction of their base they feel needs to get scared that the boogeyman is coming to get them, that this other that they don't know is coming to get them. And often it's easy to point at marginalized communities, in this case the trans community, because you know that basically there's a good chance that their base doesn't know somebody in that community. So you can paint a picture of who these people are that often goes unchallenged, because the people you're speaking to in their day-to-day life don't know somebody who's trans. But again, I can't stress enough, a lot of these bills are really out searching for a solution to a problem that doesn't exist, and causing really, really a lot of harm to an already traumatized community in the process.
Yeah, it's so interesting, Patrick. I think what I loved about the article and how in-depth it was it also, it just recapped the entire situation, because obviously, you know, coming in from looking at the situation from my perspective, a very, very anti this legislation idea. I'm getting that side, but you also talked about and explained the quotes from some of these pushers from the Republican Party of this to see what they're saying, what they're telling people. And if you take a person who knows nothing, knows not a single trans person, doesn't know anything about the situation, and they're hearing that, they can be influenced by it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things, is I think so it's also no surprise that Julian Appling and Wisconsin Family Action is one of the, not a co-author, but really one of the people working behind the scenes to push this. For people who maybe don't know the reference of that, Julian Appling and Wisconsin Family Action were the people who pushed for the marriage amendment back in 2005, 2006. They are probably one of, if not number one, they're in the top three of the most anti-LGBT groups in the state of Wisconsin. I personally believe they're a shell organization that the right uses to funnel money, dark money, into political campaigns for by masking it as being an anti-LGBT organization. But it should be no surprise that Julian Appling was one of the speakers when the bills were introduced in the Capitol back in March. You know, what I think they're trying to do is really actively get this out and get people scared of it before they actually have time to know a trans person and realize that there's nobody to be scared of, so that they can plant seeds of this narrative that keep people divided.
Patrick, we have just a couple of minutes left, but as a person who has enjoyed athletics, who has, you know, been active in various things, I know you've been a big hockey guy.
Yep.
What does sports mean to people? Why? I mean, restricting kids from participating in sports that are trans, that's taking a big piece away from their lives.
Yeah. So one of the things that I love about sports is, I think to an extent, it's a universal language. It's something we can all connect with and relate to, and we can understand the importance of the role that sports play in our lives in building our identities, building our self-esteem, our confidence, our connection to our social peer groups. And, you know, historically, the queer community has been not very welcome in the sports world. They've often been targeted and pushed out or not valued or intimidated, and I think pushed into spaces that stereotypically have seemed safer. You know, I would put like arts and entertainment. You know, if you think gay stereotypes, you're going to think probably like theater or the arts or music or something before you're going to think sports. And that's because sports has always been somewhat of a hostile environment. But if you create a space that's not safe for queer people there, think of all that you get from sports that queer people don't have access to, and how that's going to limit their own development as people. So the other big thing that I've tried to do since I arrived in Wisconsin was I founded the Madison Gay Hockey Association, which is, as of 2 years ago, I think the biggest LGBT hockey league in the world, surpassing Toronto, which is mind-blowing in context, I guess. And the whole idea there is to just take this community who has not really been raised to see themselves in sports and reconnect them to that opportunity and growth that can happen by participating in a team sport or just a sport in general. The league, I think, has done wonders, very specifically for creating space for trans athletes who often have not been able to figure out how to even reconnect to sports prior to an organization like this. You know, the locker rooms for the Gay Hockey League are gender neutral, they're co-ed, which created a space where trans people didn't feel like they had to choose, frankly, or be defined by or threatened by what locker room they walked into. And we've never had a problem. Like, it's laughable to even think that there would have been a problem. So maybe because of having that firsthand experience going on now for me, 17 years, it feels all the more ridiculous that the GOP is trying to gin up some kind of divisive fear around, something that's not a problem.
Talking with Patrick Faribault, the publisher of Our Lives magazine. Patrick, thanks so much for your time and insight today, and thanks for putting the information out there. Check it out, ourliveswisconsin.com. People can find magazines all over the place, right, Patrick?
Yeah, and anywhere in Wisconsin, they can go on the website and just sign up for free to have it mailed to them.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for your time, Patrick, and everything you do over there at Our Lives. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you again. I appreciate the opportunity.
We'll be back here in just a minute on Let's Get Local, but starting out strong. Catch you right after the break.